Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
Many of us need a breakthrough in our life. Many of us are captivated in circumstances. Many of us are captivated in cyclical things that keep happening, and you say, wonder why that happened. I wonder how that's happening. How come this always happens to me? And so many of us get caught up in that. Many of us get caught up in our in self-image, poor self-image. Many of us get caught up in things of the world system. And you think, why me? Why me? It's always me it happens to. Well, today, I believe that the anointing of God will cause you to break out and break through those things that have been happening to you. Amen. How come I always run out of petrol? How come, I feel guilty when I walk down the street and I see a cop? How come these things always happen to me? How come that this is going on in my life? How come my tap's leaking? How come whatever? Well, today you're going to have a breakthrough. Amen. We've got a freezer in the family that's we got in 1980. It's never been serviced and never broke down since 1980. These are breakthroughs, not breakdowns. And God wants us to have breakthroughs in life and not breakdowns. Isn't that right? He wants us. Tomorrow night I'm going to be sharing starting a new thought process on quantum physics or a quantum life. And quantum life is really phenomenal. It's fascinating. And once you start thinking about quantum and how it affects our lives and how the things that we say, everything in life comes from the smallest particle in an atom, which was really a sound wave. And quantum's about light waves and sound waves. And when we make sounds, our sounds change our circumstances. So we're going to be talking about that. And I'm going to be learning, and you guys are going to be learning. And even the professors that study quantum physics and everything, they're still learning because no one's got all the answers. And CERN in Brussels, where they have the Great Hadron Collider, where they have 17-kilometer-long tunnel where they're firing protons around this whole thing and getting them to collide. And when they do collide, it's causing matter to come from something that's not seen. So it's really powerful. And they call it the God experiment. So something that's not seen created something that is seen. Do you get it? God is so good. He's so powerful. He's so awesome. You know, when you think how far away the sun is and it only takes 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 39 seconds for the light to get from the sun to us. And when you think if you were to travel there, it would take you thousands of years in real time to get there or to the edge of the universe. You could never travel to the edge of the universe. So our God's an awesome God, and he holds everything in the palm of his hand. Isn't that awesome? So the anointing, not the point one, the anointing brings to an end all the struggles of life. How many of you thought, my Lord, just if I could be free of this struggle? I remember my wife and I and my family in South Africa when we went there. You know, we had nothing. We always had more month than money, and it was just going from one kind of major situation to another, and you thought, when are we ever going to be free of this struggle? Actually, when I got free of that struggle is when I gave my life to Jesus, and things started changing. So that was the anointing came in my life. Luke 4:18 says this from the New Living Testament. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. So when we take this word, we take it in the first person. You don't say the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus and Jesus was anointed or the pastor's anointed. No, you take it in the first person. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord, say that to yourself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, let's everybody do that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sometimes you've got to stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm anointed, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And it goes on to say, For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So we, say me, I'm anointed to bring good news to the poor. Amen. That's the truth. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And verse 19 says, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The time of the Lord's favor. This is our year of favor. This is a year of favor. Let me tell you, every year is a favor. Every day is a day of favor. If you expect favor, you'll have favor. If you expect everyone to speak bad about you, well, the aura that you comes from you will cause others to speak. You know, you walk into a room and someone say, I don't like that person. They don't even know you, but it's the aura you're carrying. Do you get that? I won't go into aura. So, favor. This is the meaning of favor from the dictionary. Favor is approval. It's support or liking for someone or something. It's an act of kindness beyond what is due or something that is unusual. It's feeling or showing approval or preference for. So it's God feels towards us. He's showing approval towards us. He's showing a preference for us. We are God's children. He loves us. You know, we love our children. We care for our children. We love our grandchildren. We approve of them. We love. They love our preference, our presence and our preference, isn't it? They just love us. And that's the way God is towards us. And the last thing is giving someone something desired. Favor is when someone is giving you something that you desire. And we fasted for 21 days. We believe for the reward in that fast. And that's something that we've desired over a period of time. So whatever we desire, the Bible says when we delight ourselves in the Lord shall give us the desires of our heart. Amen. He wants us to delight so that we receive the desires. He wants us delight so we receive his favor. And his favor is the greatest thing that we can have. And we've got it. We've got it. Church, as people of God, we've got to receive what God has for us. We've got to believe and receive what God has for us. Mark 24 says, when you pray, believe that you receive. I think if the church received all the benefits of that Jesus Christ died on the cross for and gave to us, then we would be in a totally different position. So when you receive the anointing today, and you see, you receive by obedience. If God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. I receive what God says. I believe what God says. I receive what he says. And therefore, I walk on it. You see, it's once you start walking on what you believe you received. It's once you start doing something. It's like the widow with the two coins. She believed that when she gave, that something would happen. The Bible doesn't go on and tell us what happened with that specific widow woman, but we can look at other illustrations where people gave their last and God blessed them too. So that principle goes throughout the Bible. Are you with me? So we just believe we receive and we shall have it. So number two, the anointing empowers you for victory and breakthroughs. We don't need a victim mentality. We need to be free from the victim mentality and walk in a victorious mentality. I'm not talking here about triumphalism. I'm talking about us understanding that we have the victory, that we're not going into the battle as defeated foes. We're going into the battle knowing that we are victorious. When we pray as victors, not as victims. We pray as overcomers. We pray as someone that's already won. Jesus in Colossians 3 tells us that he took the keys of hell and death and took captivity captive. So if Jesus has already done that for us, taking captivity captive and provided that we would have life in all its abundance, then it behoves us just to say, thank you, Lord. I receive, I believe, and I receive all that you have for me. Don't live below the level of God's goodness in your life. Expect breakthroughs. Expect breakthroughs. For whatever the principle is, that whatever you expect, you will have. If you expect, well, you know, we're booked for a holiday in July, and as soon as the Wayne's go on holiday, then we're going. We've got the flight booked and everything. But you know, every year that we do it, we Johnny get sick just before we go. I see, what you're expecting happens. Your expectations, if it's negative or positive, if we changed our negative ones to positive ones, it'd be totally different. We'd live a totally different life. And there's a promotion coming. Well, I'll probably no get it. I'm going for an interview, but there's another 200 people going. I'm probably no qualified enough. I'll probably no get it. No, come on, guys. We are favored of the Lord. We got to believe that. We got to walk in that victory that he has bought for us. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. So God was anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. That's our portion. We should go about doing good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God gave Jesus the anointing for doing good. When we're anointed, we have the anointing for doing good. We have the anointing for the healing power that was in the same power that was in Jesus is in us. We can do what Jesus did. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says, for Christ did not send me as an apostle to baptize, but this is from the Amplified Bible, but commissioned and empowered me. So when the anointing comes on you, you're commissioned and empowered. You're commissioned and empowered. It's like if you're working for the government, if you're a policeman, you're commissioned and empowered to carry out the law of the land, and you can do it with all authority and all power. You just go and do what, because you know that you have the backing of the government. It's the same in the kingdom of God. When you're commissioned, anointed, and empowered, then you've got the empowerment. You don't need to be ashamed in anything that you do. You can walk full of the power of God. The Bible goes on to say to preach the good news of salvation. We saw that in Luke 4:18, that we preach the good news of salvation, not with clever and eloquent speech as an orator, so that the cross of Christ would not be made ineffective, deprived of its saving power. You see, our message shouldn't be just in word alone, but it should be in power. The power, if I say that the Bible says that the believer will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, and I never lay hands on anyway, there'd be no recovery. But you've got to do what God tells you to do. Demonstrate the power of God. You say, well, what happens if I don't? Well, what happens if you do? What happens if you lay hands on someone and they're immediately healed? What happens if you do that? But if you don't do it, then you're withholding what God has given you and empowered you to do. John 20, verse 21, this is one of my favorite verses. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. I send you for the very same purpose, clothed with the very same authority and influenced by the very same Spirit. As the Father sent me, so I send you." If Jesus said that, do you think that Jesus is playing deity tricks with us? Do you think he's just saying that and not meaning what he said? No, he says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you. So I send you, so I send you, so I send you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." So, where does Christ live? Christ is in me. Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. In me, all the fullness of Christ dwells. The Bible tells me that. So, as the Father sent Jesus, so he sends me. Wow. As the Father sent Jesus, so he sends me. Do you want to know what Jesus looks like? He looks exactly like me. He fills me from every part of my being. It's filled with Jesus. He's exactly like you. For as his Father sent me, so he sent you. You have the same being in you, the same Holy Spirit in you as I have. And you have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And just you can do the works that Jesus did. The Bible says that in John 14, 12. I'm telling you the truth, that those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I go to the Father. So it's not only doing what Jesus did. He says you'll do greater things than these because I go to the Father. I'm not going to be, Jesus was saying, I'm not going to be around anymore. I'm leaving. I'm going back to the Father, but I'm giving you the anointing that you will do greater things than I have done. The works that I do, you shall do, and greater things than these. I tell you, that is a jumping out of your skin, hod me back, Jacob, everything. It's like, hey, we've got this. We've got this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like God wants us to receive what he said, receive the word. And John 14, 13 says, And I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through my Son. So he says, when you do that, I will do whatever you ask in my name. When you believe that the greater works are in you, you will do, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do that, for it will bring glory to the name of my Father. Christians, that is another form of the gospel. That is the living word. That is the living word. It's alive, it's quick, and it's powerful. And if we do the word will work in our lives. If we do the word and we are bold enough to say, Jesus, your word says in John 14, whatever we ask for in your name. So, Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for the anointing for a breakthrough. I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus for the end of struggles in my life. I'm asking you, Lord, that you have set me free from this, that you give me the power. Father, I'm asking you that I will know about the favor of God in my life every day, and I will expect good things to happen. It's just the way it is. Amen? Maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you're here just for the second or third time, and you're saying, what is this guy on? I'm on Jesus, and I believe this. And you say, you kind of, do you know what a radical person is? A radical person, someone that will believe Jesus and do what he says, and a radical person is something that someone that believes in Jesus but never does something always sees someone that's doing something as radical. And it's like, cool it. Don't be so. It's like if you work for a certain department of the government, it's like, slow down, hey, we've got all day to do this. Don't be doing it too quick now. I never said any names, so don't write me any letters or anything. So, number three, the anointing provides answers to all the questions of life. Isaiah 10:27 says this, "And it shall be in that day his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So it's going to take the burden off your shoulder. You know, some people, you think they've got the weight of the world on them. They're like, "Oh, how are you today?" Terrible. I was in the gym the other morning, and I was walking out, and there was these three ladies walking to me, and they were talking. I said, "Oh, it's another terrible day. Have you seen what it's like outside? It's just so terrible." And it's like, hey, it doesn't matter if it rains or snows or whatever. You don't need to be like that. So, but that burden, some people just receive burden. Well, if I don't worry, who's going to worry? I've got to worry if there's nobody worrying about something. I need to worry about it. And it's that kind of situation. We need to get over that. What God was talking about there was the Assyrians came against Judah, and they were coming against them for years and years. And he says, that yoke, that burden that's been coming against you for years, that yoke of oppression, that yoke of depression will be broken off your life in the name of Jesus. That's the yoke he's talking about, that burden and that yoke from off your neck. You've been yoked to a problem. You've been yoked to something that's always caused you trouble. Then he'll break that yoke. You know, it's like yesterday, and I was putting together something that the other person that lives in my house broke. But it was like in three pieces, so I managed to put them together with super glue. But if it was destroyed, you can't put something that's destroyed back together. Something that's destroyed is completely irreparable. And so when God says the yoke is destroyed, it's completely irreparable. It can't be brought back again. It can't be put back to the way it was. Are you with me? So when it was destroyed, it was completely bombed and out of your life completely. And that's because of the anointing. Psalm 92, verse 10 says, "But my horn, the emblem of excessive strength and stately grace." I love it. My horn. God uses that as an example. It's like the ox's horn or a rhino's horn or an elephant's tusks or something. It's there. It's how they get their power. It's where their power comes out in their lives, isn't it? And he says, it's the horn is an emblem of excessive strength and stately grace. So God says, I've given you excessive strength. I've given you strength for every situation, every circumstance, no matter what circumstance you're in. I've given you the strength to get through it. You say, "Oh Lord, my strength is small." He says, well, it's when you say that your strength is small that I give you the strength. It's the meek that shall inherit the earth. The weak must say, "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So that's the excessive strength. And then we have a stately grace. If Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's made us in our image, he tells us in Revelations that we are kings and priests in the world. So then we must walk with a grace. We must walk stately, church. We mustn't walk in a way that portrays a poor God or a poor kingdom. We must walk with that authority, with that stately grace. Are you with me? It's like you've seen the Queen or Prince Charles or whoever. They walk with a stately grace, don't they? Some of you have never seen the Queen. But yeah, they do. They walk with that stately grace, and it's like They strut their stuff, you know. They know who they are, and they know what's behind them. And that's the stately grace that God's talking about, that we walk knowing who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. And the Bible says, "And you have exalted like that of a wild ox." So We've been exalted from the place where we once were. The place where I was once was a place lost and undone without Jesus. I didn't have Jesus in my life, and my life was really something that went from one disaster to another, one bad experience to another. And my son's sitting here, my sister-in-law, my mommy's here. They can tell you, but if they do, I'll have to excommunicate them or something. But anyway, they can tell you what I used to be like. But when I found out who I was in Christ, I started walking with the authority that I had in Christ. And it was because of the anointing that set me free. So please say these things with me. These are empowering words from the Holy Ghost. And I'd like us, because anointing is dependent on obedience. If you're not going to be obedient in the kingdom of God, don't expect it. Don't even come for the anointing. But obedience is greater than sacrifice, God says. So that obedience is what takes us into God's presence. That obedience is what wins the victories of life. So I'd be blessed if you say these things with me. These are confessions. The Bible says we hold fast to your confession of faith. The Revelations 12:11 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our confession. So when we make these confessions, we're taking ownership. You hear yourself saying it. When you hear yourself saying something, it empowers you. So say this with me, please. I am anointed with fresh oil.
I am anointed with fresh oil.
This is the dawn of a new day. For me, from today, I will be known as a man or woman of breakthroughs. God desires that I become an amazement in this world. I shall become a commander of my circumstances. This can only happen not by might, nor by power, but by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You receive it. You believe it. Then it's yours. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, when we receive the anointing today, we're receiving the anointing for our spiritual eyes, and we're receiving the anointing for our physical eyes. The Bible says in Revelations 3:18, Lord, anoint my eyes with eye salve that I may see. That's talking about your spiritual eyes, the same as Paul's talking about here. There's things that you don't see in life, but the Holy Ghost will give you discernment of things that are going to come, of things that are happening. The Holy Spirit will show you the future. The Holy Spirit will help you through all of these things. The Holy Spirit will empower you physically. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to overcome in life, to have those breakthroughs in life. So when we receive that anointing, we're receiving it for our spiritual eyes to be open, and we're receiving it for our physical being. We're receiving it for strength in the spirit and strength in the natural and the supernatural. So God wants us to receive this, and we do this at the beginning of the year because the struggles that are going to come up this year. You can't decide what's going to happen in the world or what's going to happen around you, but you can decide your response to that. You can decide how you're going to respond to that, if it's going to break you down or else you're just going to carry on and with a hope in the future. And that's what we're all believing for, with hope in the future. We hope that something good is going to happen, that this thing will turn around, that these things that happened in the past will not happen again, that they have broken off our life. And that's what you have to receive, freedom from all of these things as we pray this today. Maybe you've come today and you say, well, this all sounds strange, but let me tell you that it's the anointing that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. If your desire is strong enough to get away from the place that you're in, God will take you to the place where he wants you to be. You see, what you're doing is you're putting God in control. You're giving God back the control of your life. He's the first place in your life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. He'll take control of your life. He will lead you and guide you in your way. When you cast your ways upon him, he will cause your thoughts to become as his thoughts. He will start to give you thoughts. He will start to give you innovative thoughts. He will start to give you dreams. He will start to give you new vision. He will give you all of these things. He will start to give you a new boldness. You receive new boldness when the anointing comes on you. Isn't God good? So, before I lay hands on you with the anointing oil, pray that you may receive the enlightening influences of the Holy Spirit, that you may be convinced of your true state and see where your help lies. Be convinced of who you are and where your help lies. Be convinced that God will do this for you. And today, I see your struggles come to an end as you receive breakthrough. It's your portion. Today, your struggles will end, and as you will receive breakthrough, and that's your portion in life.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.